بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله Tonight is the 30th of September in the year 2020 and Alhamdulillah moving on from the glorious pillar of Zakat and the glorious deed of Sadaqah to the next glorious pillar and that is of fasting. So with regards to the value of fasting, sufficient are the words of our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, fasting has no equal. Fasting has no equal. This is recorded in Nasa'i, and Shaykh Albani rahmatullah alayhi states, Sahih in Sahih al-Targhib 1-413. So this is actually part of the report, but there was a companion, his name was Abu Umama radiyallahu anhu. And who better to ask than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because Ya Rasulullah, show me a deed. Guide me to a deed that you think will benefit me the most. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fast. So the Sahaba leaves and he's churning it over and he's thinking fast. As if, you know, everybody fasts. So he comes back. He goes, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please guide me to a deed that you think will benefit me immensely. Prophet said it again, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he goes fast. The third time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said these words, fasting has no equal. So now think about that. Every single deed we do with knowledge. Have you noticed? And when you do a deed, where you learn the virtue, so for instance, if I was to ask you, do you offer any nafl prayers? And you will say yes, you know, I pray awwabin, tahajjud, Ishraq, why are you offering those nafl prayers? So obviously it's sunnah, but you've learned something about that deed that is now causing you to do that deed. And you're putting your trust in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fasting has no equal. So even though we may not know exactly what the reward is, the one who knows the reward for that deed has told you that. Fasting has no equal. And look how beautiful. The Sahaba didn't get it. But after the third time he understood. He asked him for a deed and the Prophet goes, fast. There's nothing equal to this deed. But in another report, the Prophet explained further, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Imam Ahmad in his Musnad 5-391 Asbahani, Shaykh Al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states, Sahih in Sahih al-Targhib, number 976. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever fasted for just one day, seeking by this only the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will then be ordained for him, thereby he will enter paradise. Subhanallah. Whoever fasted just one day, seeking only the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will ordain for him, he will enter paradise. Now think about that. The only condition is, there's no riyah. Now think about that. When people ask, is it a special day that you're fasting, brother? Is it special about today? That really is a strange question, especially when you're asking about the fast. Because the Prophet didn't mention a special day. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you keep one fast sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, paradise is yours. Now think about that. If that is the reward for the nafl fast, then what is the reward for the sunnah? Then what is the reward for the farad in Ramadan? Think about that. So when you're keeping a fast, that one fast that you keep is enough to secure your entry into paradise. Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahmatullah alayhi, he said in Bayhaqi in Shu'ab al-Iman, he said, the fast is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will never be passed on the day of judgment. On the day of judgment, your deeds will be given to others because you've backbited, you've slandered, you've done etc. etc. But the fast, Allah Ta'ala does not allow to be passed on. And eventually you will enter paradise by virtue of that fast. Now think about that. There's no other deed like that. Even Salat can be passed on. Even Hajj can be passed on. Even Sadaqah. But the fast, is there something about the fast? That's why the Prophet said fast. There's nothing equal to it. Now when you do the fast, doesn't that give you great comfort? Because we know that we do things foolishly. You know, we might slander, bite by it, and you're thinking, oh my God, deeds are going left, right and centre. I've got a hole in my pocket when it comes to deeds. But even if you do have a hole in your pocket, fast will not go through that hole. Is that beloved to Allah, so according to Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahmatullah alayh. Abu Darda said, radiyallahu, every hair of the fasting person makes tasbih for him. Subhanallah. Every hair of the fasting person makes tasbih for him. This is in Daylami, it is Musnad al-Firdaus, number 8853, or 5-490. So how many hairs on the human body? Your guess is as good as mine. So let's have a guess. I'd say about a couple of million, probably way off. A million hair follicles are saying Subhanallah, and you are getting the reward for it, because you're fasting. Think about that. How long will it take for you to say Subhanallah a million times? It'll take a few weeks, unless you're awliya, maybe a few days. You're fasting, you get that automatically. Your hair is doing tasbih for you. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala loves the fast. Go back to the first hadith. There's nothing like it. The Prophet is telling you the answer. That Allah alayhi sallam. Can you think of another deed where your own body parts are doing zikr because of the deed that you're doing? Very hard to even register except the fast. Not only is the deed priceless, it also intercedes for you on the day of judgment. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the fast will intercede for the person on the day of judgment. The fast will intercede for the person on the day of judgment. This is in Ahmad 2-174, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid 3-181, states Hassan. And Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih in Sahih al-Jam 2-720. Now think about that. The fast can't be passed on. You will enter paradise with one fast. But on the day of judgment, Allah Ta'ala even transforms the fast into something which will now be your lawyer. And he will say, oh my Lord, forgive him. Now think about it. Even though we haven't got the response in this hadith, you must be forgiven. Because the Prophet told you that one fast takes you to paradise. So the deed of fasting is something beloved. Now winter's coming. And we're living in that part of the hemisphere where the fast is extremely short. And Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu said in Tirmidhi that winter is an auspicious time for the worshippers. Because the nights are long and the days are short. What did he mean by that? You got so much time to do tahajjud. And the fast is 9 hours, 10 hours. So in winter, you must be a fruitcake if you don't just keep a few nafal fasts. Think about that. And sometimes you haven't eaten. You're thinking, I could have fasted today. You didn't make the intention. And don't forget, the intention can be made before midday. So even if you're not intending to fast, and let's say, you know, you're having a line, and you get up, it's 11:30, thinking, well, there's only 4 hours left, I think I'll fast. Ya Allah, I intend to keep a fast. There you go. So don't think you're going to make the intention before the entry of Fajr. This is for the Nafl fast, the Fajr you have to. So note again, Allah Ta'ala wants you to do this deed, and it's beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The blessed deed of fasting weakens shaitan. How? Hafiz Zubaydi in his Idhaf al-Sadat al-Muttaqeen, volume 9, page 12, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, undoubtedly, shaitan circulates in a man's body like his blood. Therefore, narrow shaitan's pathway by hunger and thirst. Therefore, narrow shaitan's pathway by hunger and thirst. So what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Shaitan is circulating like your blood. That's a scientific fact. Blood circulates. They didn't even know that until William Harvey came along. Because blood circulates. Congratulations, William. Right? The Prophet said it 1,400 years ago. But then he said, Shaitan also circulates in that blood. Why? Because he's a dirty creation. He's not going to circulate in something pure. It's got to be something which is dirty. It's blood. So what did the Prophet say? Therefore, narrow those paths. How? By hunger and thirst. Now, what was he fasting? It makes the path for shaitan difficult. He can still go through, but he's thinking, oof, this guy's killing me, right? And if you're fasting, it weakens him. Those the one who regularly does the opposite, he's more prone to the shaitanic attacks. If you overeat, if you look, it's what's interesting. Just look at how lethargic that person becomes. If a person overeats, he's always yawning and he's always having a nap and he's always, he hasn't done anything. So isn't that shaitan taking over? Knock yourself out. I don't know. And then he can't go to sleep at night. What does he do? Starts eating at night then. Because he can't go to sleep. Because comfort eating. You know, it's a wild night. Hence it is related. The advice of one whose stomach is full has no effect upon others. And when he is given advice, his mind refused to accept it. This is recorded by Shaykh Safudi rahmatullah alayh in Nuzhatul Majalis, volume 1, page 178. Look at this beautiful advice. If your stomach is full, your advice won't really have an impact. So imagine you've had, you know, samosa, kebab, pakore, everything. And you're talking about something that you said is hardly going to get it anywhere. But when you are given advice and you are full, your mind will refuse to accept it. It works both ways. So what are the shuyuf mentioning here? This is how shaitan attacks. So when you're full, your advice is very weak. And you will be find it very hard to take advice from others. And what do you notice in the month of Ramadan? Things stick into your head straight away, you notice. Because you're not eating. You think, yeah, I feel fantastic. And they go, yeah, and then you're narrating. My memory seems to sharpen up a bit. Because you stop eating and drinking. Shaitan obviously is locked up anyway. Your nafs is now getting constricted as well. And what do people always say in Ramadan? I find this very interesting. There is a point in Ramadan where they taste the ibadat. They finally taste it. And then they go, oh, I felt something. And I can't explain it, brother. You see, it was something else. It's always in Ramadan. Because how long did it last? And then he goes, well, you know, did two rakats after that. Right? Why? Where did that come from, Thunderbolt? Because you are now like an angel. Because you're not eating, you're not drinking, your shaitan's locked up, nafs is on lockdown. Suddenly you're getting something from your ibadat now. And what do you always want? Because, ya Allah, why don't you give me that all? Because you don't deserve it all the time. But Allah Ta'ala is giving you that little taste. Because do you want it more of this than sacrifice? Thus, he becomes less effective in alerting with this and also in receiving precious advice. That's why in Ramadan, advice is taken more. You notice that. People listen to you more in Ramadan. Even the big shaitan, you notice. You're right, brother. You're right. You're right. So the Shawwal comes. Where's he gone? Astaghfirullah. The pious predecessors have also elaborated. Sheikh Bilgirani, rahmatullah alayh, in his Sab' al-Sanabil, page 241. Eating food to a full stomach is a stream in the nafs through which shaitan makes inroads. On the contrary, hunger is a stream of the ruh where the angels pass through. Look at these very interesting words. So the nafs and the ruh, don't go into that, otherwise you'll be all night, right? But the ruh is the pure creation. The nafs is when you start polluting the ruh. When you eat food to a full stomach, it's a stream in the nafs through shaitan. He makes inroads through it. Think about that. When you are used to not eating to your fill, hunger, you've made a road in the ruh where the angels can pass through. So what were they simply saying? They were simply saying, if you want angelic inspirations, don't eat to your fill. If you want shaitan to be dormant to as humanly possible, don't eat to your fill. Go back to the first report. The Prophet just said it in three, fasting has no equal. In other words, he knows the deed. He's just telling you. He's not going into any details. But we should trust the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? In Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah and Mishkat, fasting is the zakat of the body. Fasting is the zakat of the body. And they prove that scientifically. Your body's MOT is when you fast. Not the Christian version. Because they fast on one thing. Because we are fasting today. And they have a burger. And they go, what's the fast? Because I've been eating chocolate. Well, what sort of a fast is that? Right? They say, the physicians, if you put a grain of salt on your tongue, the whole machinery starts. So it's like a car engine. When you turn the key, the whole engine starts. It's not just turning the key. Everything kicks in. And that is just like your digestive system. The only way to give that digestive system rest is not to put anything of nutrient value in your mouth. Think about that. And what's interesting, they have proved that water doesn't affect it. Why? Because we goggle. Because that doesn't turn the engine on. Look how interesting that is. Well, how do you, there you go, there's the perfect Sharia again. If that was the case, the Prophet would have said, when you fast, leave the mouth. But notice he said, you still do the mouth, you don't goggle. Because it doesn't start the engine. The body's getting that vital rest. Fasting is the zakat of the body. Thus, the one who fasts correctly is more prone to the angelic inspirations. Hence, it comes as no wonder to rate that Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala amongst you is the person who eats less and who has a lean body. Subhanallah. The most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala amongst you is the person who eats less and who has a lean body. Recorded by Imam Sayyuti in his Jami As-Saghir number 221. Think about that. Why is that person more beloved? He goes, he's not eating, he's got a thin body, why is he more beloved? That's the answer. Because he's more prone to the angelic inspirations. He must be more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what did Umar radiallahu anhu say? He goes, I hate a fat scholar. That's his words, not my words, right? In Abu Ya'la. Why? Because an alim, that's the last place you're supposed to see it did. Right? Imagine, if somebody goes to you, look, this guy is a bit overweight, this, that, he's a layman in him, may Allah bless him in it, right? Sheikh al-Hadith, kidneys both sides, east and west, right? What Sheikh al-Hadith is this? Astaghfirullah. So note, that's why Umar radiallahu anhu was saying, he goes, how are they going to take you seriously? And it's true. Even though I didn't know that text, I used to think, I don't want to judge people, but you can't take the guy serious because he can't control his food intake. And he's telling you about, you know, control yourselves, don't do this and that. Well, control food intake. And there you go, it goes back to what the Shuyub said. He goes, you can't take those people serious. And what do you notice? When you get an alim who's thin, you know, he's got a good frame, straight away you get a good impression. You notice that. You think, mashallah. You know, he's got something which the Prophet obviously had. The Prophet underate. Think about that. That's the Sunnah. People always say, what did he eat? The scholars say, don't go into that. Because if you follow the Sunnah, you're going to actually undereat. That's why the Sahaba, you know, they didn't go into great details about his eating. Because he didn't eat much. A couple of days, he didn't eat at all. Visal fast. Somebody goes, can we do the Visal fast? The Prophet didn't encourage that. He goes, I'm not like you. My Lord gives me to eat during the day, during the night. Unlike you. Right, 2-3 days he didn't eat or drink, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the same thing, Shaykh Mufti Muhammad Yar Khan rahmatullah alayhi in Nur al-Ilfan, page 378, he stated, the governor of Egypt bought Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam from an Egyptian market, paying gold, silver, musk, pearls and silk equivalent to the weight of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. At that time, his weight was 400 ratals, roughly 200 kilograms, around 30 stones. And his age was only 12 years. So when I read this, I thought, I think the Sheikh's, you know, made a big miscalculation here. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was 30 stones. So this is a report. So what happened? His brothers, they were wanting to kill him, but they goes, no, throw him in a well. When the people travel, they'll take him and good riddance. So they took him and they sold him as a slave. And what did they get for him? The governor of Egypt paid gold, silver, musk, pearls, silk equivalent to his weight. But then the bombshell, his weight was around 200 kilograms. He was only 12 years old. So why on earth or how on earth was he 30 stone? This is explained by the fact that the people in those ancient times were much taller. Hence their weight was also proportionate. Why? Because if I didn't mention that, you think, well, if a prophet of God was 30 stone, there's nothing wrong with me being 30 stone. Hang on a minute, right? First of all, he was 12 years old. I think you're past that, innit? And you go, well, if he's 12 stone, then, you know, 12, then that means he'd be 50 stone even my age. You missed something. But the reason is, this is the ancient times. Why? Because Ibrahim is an ancient prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. This is his great-grandson. So, it's to do with their height. But he was around 30 stones, imagine. You know, do you picture that? SubhanAllah, you just get this image that, you know, normal person, Prophet's normal, like me and you. Wahb ibn Munabbih, he further clarified in Tafsir Khazim 11-3, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was auctioning the market and the bidders uplifted his price to the extent he was sold for his equivalent weight of silver, silk and musk. So there was an auctioning that took place. Everybody wanted him. So they went, so the guy went, yeah, and they go, no, I'll give you more. And eventually his weight, it was to do with his weight, gold, silver and the rest of it. Now, who bought him? The Aziz bought him. Radiallahu. The Quran mentions it was no other than the Honorable Aziz radiallahu who bought him. And what did he say to his wife after he bought him? In Surah Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, Surah 12 verse 21, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. Akrimi mathwahu, honor his stay amongst us. Look how noble he was. First of all, he knew this youngster's priceless. And that's not an exaggeration. We buy stupid things. Auction for house, auction for car. He did a proper auction. He saw a prophet of God. He goes, I'm going to buy him. I'm going to throw a kitchen sink, everything. So he knew what he was doing. When he bought him, now think about this. He didn't say to his wife, he's took me to cleaners, put him to work. He said, Akrimi mathwahu, honor his stay. In other words, I can see greatness in him. He goes, look after him like your son. Honor him. Why does Allah Ta'ala mention that about this man? It's a verse of the Quran. Why did he quote him? Because there's something here that needs to be looked at. In Tabarani, Hakim in his Mustadrak 3-90 Sahih, Zahabi Sahih, Ibn Abi Shaybah in his Al-Musannaf 14-574, Ibn Ishaq Al-Bidayah, Ibn Kathir's Tafsir, Volume 7, page 394, the English translation, Imam Sayyuti in his Tariq al-Khulafa, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawa'id 10-268 states, Tabarani relates it with two chains and the narrators of one of them are Sahih. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he praised this man. So the great Ibn Mas'ud said, radiallahu, three were the most penetrating and judicious people of all. Firstly, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, female companion, who said, and he recited this verse, Surah Al-Qasas, Surah 28, verse 26, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Ya abati ista'jir, inna khayra man ista'jarta al-qawiyyul amin. Oh my father, hire him. Verily the best of men for you to hire are the strong, the trustworthy. So Ibn Mas'ud said, she was the most intelligent of people in history. Secondly, he said, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's companion who said, and he recited this verse, Surah 12 verse 21, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Akrimi mathwahu asa'i yanfa'ana aw nattakhidahu walada. Honor his stay with us. For it may be he will be profitable to us, or we shall adopt him as our son. And then Ibn Mas'ud said, and lastly Abu Bakr Siddiq, when he appointed Umar as his successor. So let's look at this. So this is a Sahih Hadith. So Ibn Mas'ud, what does he know about the Quran? The question is, what does he not know about the Quran? You know, we don't know nothing about Quran. But he said that if I knew anybody who knew more about the Quran than I would travel on a camel to go to see him. And the Sahaba were sitting. None of them objected to that statement. This is in the Sahih, meaning he was one of the greatest scholars of the Quran. Ibn Mas'ud said, these three people, these were the greatest in terms of knowledge. They had deep insight in things. Who was the first person he placed? The woman who said to her father, hire him. Hire who? Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. The best of men for you to hire are Kawiyul Amin, strong, trustworthy. So what's the narrative? Very briefly, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is fleeing for his life. He just got the shirt on his bike. He goes to Madian and he falls under a tree. And the report says that he's got blisters on his feet, his clothes are ripped, and he's absolutely exhausted. But then he sees some women, and they're at the back of a well, and the men are in front. So he gets up, and he basically gives the water to the women, because they needed some for their flock. Then he goes back to the tree, and he sits. And then, look how beautiful. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, think about this. Who else was there to record this? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So he's by himself under the tree. And then he says, Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. Oh my Lord, this faqir is in desperate need of whatever good you can send. Look at the dua he made. And this is before he's been appointed. People say, oh, what's special about prophets? You made dua like that when you were in your jahiliyyah. Right? So this is a dua he made before he's appointed. He goes, I'm a faqir, Ya Allah, help me. And then what happened? The woman then, and I think that was his wife, who she went to Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam. That was the daughter of a prophet. Shu'ayb alayhi, and he was blind. And she said to Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam, Father, hire him. Ya abati ista'jir. Inna khayra man ista'jarat al-qawiyyal ameen. Verily the best of men for you to hire are the strong, the trustworthy. Ibn Masud said, how did she have that knowledge? Prophet of God, she didn't even know. She knew her father was a prophet, but how did she know this was a prophet? Because she was one of the greatest. Then Ibn Masud said, the second was Aziz. He bought Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and what did he say to his wife? Honor him, for it may be he will profit us, or we shall adopt him as a son. Think about it. Did Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam honor Aziz? We're reciting him in Quran. We're talking about him now. Think about it. 2020, we're talking about Aziz. What about Ramesses? Stop him. Right? Right? Aziz. Right? Why? So Allah Ta'ala, he goes, maybe Allah Ta'ala will honor us. Prophet, will profit from him. Hasn't they profited, both husband and wife. And then look how amazing. Ibn Masud said, and lastly, Abu Bakr Siddiq, when he appointed Umar. In other words, he goes, you don't understand how much insight he had by appointing him, radiyallahu anhu. So note, why am I mentioning this when talking about fasting? Because Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam at the time was around 30 stones. It was shocking if you think of a 12-year-old boy, 30 stones. SubhanAllah. And just to add this, returning to the matter at hand, with regards to foodstuff, to all those who have embraced the glorious faith, we have the following very interesting report. In Ibn Kathir Sira, volume 4, page 127 of the English translation, Hafiz Waqidi rahmatullah alayhi, he said, the delegation from Ju'fi arrived in the year of delegations to embrace Islam. They had forbade themselves from eating hot. When their delegation accepted Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered them immediately, eat hot. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thus cooked some food of hot, handed it to their leader, saying, your iman will not be complete until you eat it. He took it, his hand was trembling. Imagine, you know, like Hindus with cows, right? So he takes it and he started chewing it and he closed his eyes. He thereupon said, I ate from it unwillingly, my body trembling when I touched it. And the Prophet was merely smiling. But Allah is. So now what's happening? What do we learn from this? All those vegans and vegetarians, let them humble themselves and complete their faith. And hence act upon this advice of our beloved Messenger. So what did they do? We don't eat meat. No problem. They embrace Islam. Here's a cheeseburger. They go, yeah. Complete your iman. And they go, what do you mean complete iman? Because you forbid this to yourself. Eat me. This is the sunnah. Imagine. And the, you know, the vegetarian vegan, I know you've got your field day with him, innit? Everything's haram for them. Astaghfirullah. Yeah, here's cheese, here's milk, here's fish. But, and also, like one of the scholars jokingly said, there's no vegetarians in paradise. Imagine. You can't be a vegetarian in Islam. Yeah, if you want to. As long as you don't make meat haram. But why do you want to live like that? Why? Because you're a vegetarian. And when you go to paradise, you eat meat. What happened to a vegetarian there? Right? Then he goes, yeah, but that meat's not slaughtered. Yeah, no, don't start using logic. Right? In Jannah, they're not going to say, well, I don't fancy meat now. Right? Meat is prized in Jannah. So note again, we humble ourselves to Allah that has given. The whole world is in our service. And it's an honor for those animals to be slaughtered. In fact, this is proven in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. just to add this one last report, an excellent and most rewarding time to keep any optional fasts is the four holy months. Rajab, Dhul-Qa'dah, Dhul-Hijjah, Muharram. These 4 months, why? In Sahih Muslim, Nasa'i Abu Dawud al-Madi, Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih in Sahih Sunan Abi Dawud, number 2122. Abu Huraira radiyallahu relates that our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best fast after that of Ramadan is during the months, the sacred months of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best salat after the obligatory salat is the salat of the night. So this is actually a wording. In one wording, the Prophet said, the month of Allah Muharram. But in this wording, he said something different. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The best fast after that of Ramadan is during the sacred months of Allah. Months. So what he was saying was the best time for you to do your optional fasts is in the 4 holy months. Rajab, which is the 7th month of Islam. Dhul-Qa'dah, which is the 11th month. Dhul-Hijjah, the 12th. And Muharram, the 1st. So in these 4 months, the Prophet ﷺ was telling you they're the best time for you to offer your optional fasts. Why is that? Because Allah the Almighty and Glorious says in the Quran, do not oppress yourselves therein. It's a verse in the Quran. Allah Ta'ala goes, do not commit sins during these months. And what is the greatest way to prevent yourself from committing sins in these 4 holy months? Fasting. Thus, one could do well in investing in this most priceless of deeds during these most auspicious of months. And of course, there is no power or might except from Allah, the Almighty and Immense. So all I mentioned today was a few reports now talking about the glorious deed of fasting. And the first report is the answer. Fasting has no equal. That's enough. All you need to know is the Prophet said nothing can compare to fasting. He gave you the answer. So again, invest. Try to get, especially during these winter months, you know, very easily you can get these fasting. And what's interesting is that one brother says to me, he goes, fasting is easy, but when I intend to fast, I can't stop thinking of food. I says, what do you mean? And he goes, well, you know, when I don't fast, I don't think of food and drink. As soon as I start fasting, I'm thinking, oh, I can't have a drink now. I can't have a... And there you go, that's the nafs. That's the shaitan. Right? Normally you don't think about it, but when you're fasting, who's provoking you? You can't have a drink from the fridge now, can you? You can't go to the shop. But you don't normally eat at that time. Who's provoking you to do that? So note again, this is from shaitan, and that also indicates the virtue of this glorious deed. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصلوا الحق وواصلوا الصبر صدق الله العظيم